For instance, its rulers were well aware of how important efficient communications were. Why? Because their state was spread out in different valleys, and clearly they had to be able to move soldiers, officials, messages, instructions, warnings, whatever, quickly from one valley to the other. So they used meter labor to construct roadways, which connected one river valley to the next. Some of these highways were up to 80 feet across. Now, these states were fueled by tribute, by goods passed to the center. So all the revenues of the kingdom and tribute passed along the roads. So did newly conquered villagers, many of whom were resettled in new areas far from their homeland, a draconian measure clearly designed to reduce the risk of rebellion. And this draconian measure was so successful that, like road building and meter, the Inca adopted it. But above all, Chimú was famous for its gold and its silver work, for its pottery and its textile. It was a dazzling state. We suspect also that it was a state where there was an institution of split inheritance. This means that when a ruler died, he kept his possessions in his compound, and the new ruler had to create his own wealth, his own compound, perhaps by adding new territory by conquest. And whatever it was, the wealth of these rulers was deeply impressive. They were very politically powerful and influential, and their wealth attracted aggressive neighbors. Chimú dazzled, was rich in metals and textiles, plenty of agricultural produce, but it was vulnerable. It was vulnerable to two things. One was flood, and the other one was drought. The floods came, of course, from El Niños, and there is evidence of at least one very powerful flood about 1100 AD, maybe a little later. But the state was also vulnerable to drought, and as we know from Andean ice cores, there were cyclical droughts. And at the same time, rising salt levels in the heavily irrigated soil were beginning to reduce agricultural productivity. But the ultimate vulnerability was much worse than that, because upstream were hostile neighbors who ultimately controlled water supplies. And between 1462 and 1470, the Chimú ruler Minchicamón fought constantly with Inca armies. Inca from the highlands, based on Cusco, whose history we'll get into in a moment. But ultimately, the Inca controlled Chimú's water supply and prevailed. And Chimú became part of the expanding Inca Empire. Thousands of Chimú artisans were resettled in Cusco in the highlands, the Inca capital, to serve their new masters. The rise of the Inca of the Andean highlands, from total obscurity to imperial fame, is another rags-to-riches story, eerily like that of the Aztecs. It is, to a considerable degree, we suspect, a created history. We do know that at the time of Tiwanaku's collapse in the 11th century AD, that the Inca were one of many small farming societies in the highland valleys of the Andes. Their leaders were petty war chiefs. They fought constantly with one another. Who these rulers were and how they became conquerors, we really don't know, because at some point, like the Aztecs, the Inca began to create their own glorious past. And this history tells us that at about the beginning of the 15th century, an Inca leader called Viracocha Inca turned himself from a mere tribal raider into a conqueror.